Soap, grow, and produce.
God, I thank you this morning for sending the people here that are coming here in need of something. Despite what they've gone through, what they've been through, what they know, despite the defeat in their life, for you have come, Holy Ghost, to set ablaze in the hearts and minds of God's people. I yield to you in this hour to have your way 100% and wholeheartedly. We give you the honor and the praise. Cleanse, reprove. Yes, God. Create in us a clean heart, a new heart, a right spirit at this hour. For your name's sakes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. In the book of Joshua is a fascinating book. In fact, Joshua is one of the characters that we like to talk about because he was a man of great stature. Not only was he a great man, a great leader, but he's also someone that I like to identify with and I celebrate with because of his accomplishments for God. He had the awesome responsibility, give you a little backlog here, of stepping up and following such a great man of God, following in his footsteps, whom we know this man to be, Moses. This is an incredible responsibility. Anytime you get the opportunity to follow in the footsteps of great men and women. Amen? And the Bible teaches us that Joshua took the mantle, the assignment, to do something that Moses could not do or continue on to do so. Moses' assignment, we know it as, was to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, but he could not lead them into the promised land. The mantle that was on Joshua's life was to lead the children of Israel, watch this, into a place that Moses could not. That place is known as the promised land. And that's a great point right there, because resting in this place at 904 East Main Street, Hall River, North Carolina, we have people sitting right in here that have been called and predestined to take a people into a place, into a territory that nobody else in this place nor on your role can do, because God called you. God called you to do the assignment, and he's expecting you to step up to the plate and to fulfill what he has given you to do. Tell your neighbor, stop sweating the small stuff and start doing what God has called you to do. For 40 years, the children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness trying to find the promised land. But they never could get to this place called the promised land. And in the process, the Bible says that Moses died. But the Bible also teaches us that Joshua stepped to the plate to carry the mantle that was on his life so that he could usher the children of Israel into, somebody say, into the promised land. Joshua had this incredible anointing on his life. I mean, such an incredible anointing. And let me just pivot right here for a minute. You know, you can have an anointing on your life and everybody in your circle won't even notice. And you have the audacity to listen to them. Somebody said you're going to miss your blessing. And he has this incredible anointing on his life. And I mean, he has such an anointing that he was called to an order, to a place, to an assignment to conquer and take over and reach this place called the Promised Land. There were some things, though, that Joshua had to go through in order to get to. in order for Joshua to lead the children, the people of God, into the promised land and to possess such a land that God was going to give them or had shown them, he had to go through something. And not only did he have to go through something, but Joshua had to fight. I didn't think I would get too many amens on that one, but I come by this morning to share with somebody to tell you that in order for you to reach your destination, good God, I'm speaking to somebody, that God has predestined for you, you are going to have to fight. Somebody say fight. I know it doesn't resonate with many of us in this place, but a lot of people that you are going to have to fight, a lot of folks in here don't really know it, haven't really seen it yet, haven't really felt it, but I come by to tell you that if you're going to make it, and I don't know exactly what you're going through, you are going to have to fight. I need y'all to help me preach this one. You're going to have to fight. Let's try it right now. You're going to have to do what?
Fight.
You're going to have to do what? To reach your destination, you're going to have to do what?
Fight.
You're going to have to fight. Joshua had to fight. It required such a fight. And here we find through the book of Joshua, story after story, detail after detail, victory after victory, from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom, Joshua had to fight. And there now through the course of this time, he's going to have, the Bible teaches and shows us that he's going to have 31 battles. In other words, 31 fights. And it tells us that out of the 31, he won 30 and lost one. But the Bible also says that the one that he lost, he went back and claimed victory. I can preach right there, because you're going to have to go back through some things in your life that you have lost, that the devil has stolen from you, and you got to go back and claim the victory. I can't preach right now. I got to keep on teaching. Somebody say that's obedience. Yeah. And so I say that to say that in order to achieve the things that God has predestined for us to walk in, to obtain, to taste. Come on, taste the honey. In order for us to be there in that place, we're going to have to fight for it. And here's the reality. Here's the reality is that many of us don't want to fight. And I mean, we're going through some things, some battles where we're going to have to put up our dukes, kick up some dust. I mean, we're going to have to do a little bounce around and begin to fight. The reality is that anything worth having in life is worth fighting for. I think about when you gave your life, when I gave my life to Christ, we had a commitment to follow the Master Christ, no matter what issues we face. And when we did so, when we made that commitment, when we said, hey, pick me, I want to go, send me, Master. When we made that declaration, at that very moment is when the devil decided that he was going to plot and plan to take you out. I wonder why the devil is so upset with us, because, let me tell you, it's because of what lives on the inside of us. And Satan knows the moment that you discover the destiny that God has placed on the inside of you is the very moment where you become an influence to God's people. It's the very moment where you become influential in the life of kingdom work. Somebody say you have to fight. It is now that you pose a threat to Satan's kingdom. It is now that you pose a threat to the people that are really not on God's side. Why, Pastor? Why? Because the fact that you pose a threat to his kingdom, listen, Satan didn't mess with you before you got saved. He didn't bother you before you start serving in God's kingdom. Satan showed up and tried to intervene when you started to do God's work, because every day, every minute, every hour, every step, every advancement is to kingdom destiny. And Satan knows that if he stops you, then you will abort the process. His whole plot is to assassinate God's people. Listen, and the amazing thing about it is he really doesn't commit murder. What he does is he presses you to become suicidal. Satan wants you to take your own life so that you cannot reach your destiny. Oh my goodness, I feel it in my spirit that so many people in this place have come to a place, a position where you had to make a decision to choose the Spirit of God over your flesh. Your natural man is telling you to give up on the things of God, but your spirit man said, hang in there. Don't throw in the towel. You've got work to do. Step up for God. Fight for the kingdom. Oh my goodness. As a matter of fact, over the course of my young life as a young preacher, as a young pastor, as a young servant, over the course of my young life. Yeah, I say young, I'm approaching 40, but I'm still young. And when I get to 50, I'm still going to be young. Talk to me, somebody. But the closer I get to my destiny, the more intense life seems to become. I mean, the more I become whom God called me to be, the more Satan presses upon me to distract me. Somebody say distractions. God called me to a specific place, to a purpose, and I want to fight, but sometimes it gets hard sometimes. Joshua and the children of Israel are fighting. Watch this. All the way from the first verse of chapter 11, they're fighting and they're conquering nations and problems and issues, and they're moving and the kingdom of God is advancing and so on. And the Bible teaches us that the others heard. Somebody say heard. If we can go back to chapter 5, verse 1 of Joshua, it says they heard. And if we go back to a few more chapters, if we look over chapter 9, verse 1, we'll see the same pattern where they heard. If we go to chapter 10, verse 1, we see these same old patterns where the enemy heard. What did they hear, Pastor? They were hearing about the defeat. They were hearing about how Joshua and the Israelites were conquering nations. Oh my goodness. And then chapter 10, verse 1, it came to pass when they did it again. They did it again. And chapter 11 and 9 is in chapter 10. And chapter 10 is in chapter 5. And all the way through these same chapters and these same scriptures, they're mentioning the same things. And it says that they heard. The Hivites, the parasites, the mosquito bites, everybody, they heard. Everybody's hearing the same thing. Let me tell you what happens here. They're all hearing the same thing, and it's being mentioned all throughout the scripture here in the book of Joshua. And whenever you are doing something, watch this, significant for God, watch this, people are going to hear about it. Oh. And this is why we have so much drama and stress in the church and in the body of Christ, because folks are hearing things concerning your life. Ask me what they are hearing, Pastor. Come on. Let me tell you what they're hearing. They're hearing that you're no longer on the other side of the tracks. They're hearing that you're no longer on the other side of the tracks. They're hearing that you're no longer on crack. Oh, come on, come on, somebody. God has saved you from that. They heard that you're no longer a whoremonger. They heard that you're no longer drinking. Heard that you're no longer smoking. Heard that you're no longer clubbing. Heard that you're no longer partying like you used to. They heard that you're no longer unemployed, no longer incarcerated, no longer single, now booed up. They heard. They heard. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. They heard. Watch this. They heard now that you're doing something for the kingdom. And it's called, just in case you didn't know, it's called an attack on your anointing. You see, the anointing just didn't arrive. The anointing has always been there. God saw fit to place you in some circumstances to pull you out so that you could recognize the anointing. anointing that's on your life. Somebody say the attack. And they're hearing these things concerning change. They heard that you got married. And when they were saying no way, they heard that you've been transformed. Baz, they heard that you've transitioned. They heard that things are working for the good of those who love God. They heard that you are changing. Things are happening in your life. You got anybody that heard that you're on a different path now? And when they heard those things, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is not positivity, but all negative things. You got anybody that heard that you were serving on the auxiliary? Anybody that heard that you was at Beyond Measure ministry? Anybody heard? Folks don't like to see you succeed. Oh, but I come to tell you, I come to share some news with you, because the Bible says that they heard. So now this king in chapter 11 heard. And so when he heard, he gathered, the Bible says, all the other kings, and they gathered together. I'm in verse 5. I ain't going to 6 or 7 yet. And they heard all these things are happening, and he gathered a flock of people, groups, nations, kings, and brought them together to plan an attack on Israel. And as a matter of fact, in verse 5, it says that all these kings had met and came together. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that when you are going somewhere, when folk don't like you, they join forces with folk that they don't even know. They join cliques and circles who didn't even talk to each other before. But now you want to get in a huddle and talk about the things that God is doing in my life and through my life. You don't even know that sister, and now you all hanging out with her. You don't even know that brother. And now y'all want to go and have lunch. Now you want to be praise partners. Now you want to pray together. You wouldn't even speak to that sister before, but now you all are buddies. I'm on the buddy system. Ganged up all because they don't like the elevation and the path that God has placed on you. I mean, I've seen people in and out of the church that link up together that don't even have anything in common. Yeah. I see you talking in the parking lot. I mean, I see you talking on the other side of town. You said you didn't even like that joker, and now you hooked up with them. I wonder what y'all talking about. Misery loves company. Misery never has a conversation with the glory of God. Always misery loves misery. Oh, that'll preach right there, preachers. And so now let me move on. The Bible says that they heard about Joshua. And they now have come to the place where they are ganging up on him and the Israelites. And this is where I want to tell all of us, I got to include myself, because there's some things that I want to say before we get to this closing. And I want to share maybe one, maybe two, maybe 3 points. I don't know what God is going to leave us to do. But let me at least share this first point. You should expect a fight. You should expect a fight. Tell your neighbor, anticipate a fight. You should anticipate that people are going to come against you. You should anticipate that folks aren't going to like you, that not everybody is going to pat you on the back, that not everybody is going to give you an applause for you preaching and teaching and serving in the kingdom. So don't be shocked or surprised when you come to church and church folks act this way. Don't be surprised when church folks, let me tell you why you can't be surprised. Because the folks that are sitting on your row, don't look at them. They're just as jacked up as you are. This is what I like about church. This is what I like about church. Because on your row, there are people just as jacked up as I am.
Montega said, I'm the pastor. God likes real people. And I'm sorry to tell you that there is no church here in the world, in the universe, that is a comprised of a group of people that dots every I and crosses every T. There is not one. So let me give you a little bit secret here. Stop searching for a perfect people. Not everybody's going to love you the same. We're sitting in church every Sunday, every Thursday. Some of you come on other auxiliary nights with a bunch of folks who's been broke, who's been busted, who's been disgusted with life. And we all are here to look in the mirror and see the image of God come back through our life. It's called the reflection of God. Woo, it's fire. It's fire in here. So we get here and we still got some of these same things to work out in our lives. And tell your neighbor, I'm still working on me. So don't be surprised when folks in the church stop talking to you. Don't be surprised when folks in the church bring more drama into your life, bringing drama into your home, bringing drama into your job. Talk to me, saints. Drama, 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 drama in your life. You should anticipate a fight. I said, Pastor, what do you mean by that? You should anticipate resistance. Everybody gonna hook up with you because you're doing the right thing? You frustrated, head dropped down, dragging because folks ain't patting you on the back, crying, I don't know why these things are happening. Shut up! Stop the fuss. Expect a battle. Anticipate a fight. And when they show up, all you need to say is, I was expecting this. Let me put on my gloves. I knew you was coming. I knew you was jacked up. Like me. Y'all sit down. I gotta go on. Folks walking around, head dropped down, struggling. Don't know if they gonna make it. Don't know if they gonna live. Fight your battle. Sit down, sit down. The whole army. Somebody say the whole army was coming against them. I mean, they had, the Bible says they had horses and chariots, and they were outnumbered by far. And the Bible says they had mounds of soldiers, mounds of horses, mounds of chariots. And then the Bible teaches that they were coming, and sometimes, preach, Pastor, sometimes the odds can be against the saints of God. Sometimes. The odds can be against you. And there are times in your life and in my life that the odds are going to be against you. There are times that the odds are against you beating cancer. There are times that the odds are against you having a child. Oh, there are times that odds are against you getting married at your older age. There are times that the odds are against you with paying off your debt. Times that the odds are against you with you getting the promotion. There are times that the odds are against you in your home, with the car, with you gaining credit. But don't you know, like I know, that sometimes I love it that the odds are against me, because my God likes to show up and hang out when the odds are against you. Whoa! Don't you love it when God plays the card with the underdog? God likes people who are underdogs, because it gives God an opportunity to show up and show out. Glory. I like being the underdog. I like for you to tell me we can't make it. We're not gonna do it. It makes me press harder. It makes me pray harder. It makes me reach for it. And most of all, it makes me fight for it. You gotta fight for it. Somebody say fight. Sit down, sit down, sit down. So I don't know about you, but I like being the underdog sometimes, because God specializes in training people who are underdogs. You know why I love it? Because he's never lost a battle. He sent his son to save my life, talk to me. He sent the Holy Ghost to be my trainer. And you can't lose if the Holy Ghost is your trainer. Talk to me. What will he train you for? He'll prepare you for battle. He whispers to you. And he talks to me. And he walks with me. And he moves me. And he comforts me. And he speaks with me. And he intercedes for me. It's called Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel like preaching. I mean, he likes to be with people like you and us, folks who've been counted out. He likes to be with folks like you and me, people that had folks talking about them, people that's been ostracized, people that's been put outside the number, people that's been called prejudiced, and you call yourself a stand-up citizen. You put your own race out. You're talking about black and white, but what about white on white? What about black on black? What about brown on brown? Talk to me, people. You gotta stand up and fight. Hold on. And so we get to this place, and God likes to help people whom folks have written off. God likes to help those folks who has nobody else to go to. And then in the Bible, verse 6 teaches us, watch this. And the Lord said to Joshua, woo! And the Lord said to Joshua, and the Lord said to Joshua, can y'all help me say the end? And the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. I gotta start over, so good. You know, like watching Power, Empire. There's nothing like that. This is the Holy Bible. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them, for tomorrow. He said, for tomorrow, at this time, I will give you all of them. Y'all didn't catch it. Do not be afraid of them, for tomorrow I will give you all of them. Watch this. Slain to Israel. He's going to cut off your enemies. He's going to remove those folks who mean you no good. Folks that put you out of the home. He's going to redeem you. He says, don't be afraid of them. I'm going to deliver them to you slain. Oh my goodness, watch this. And so Joshua and all his warriors, suddenly, against them by the waters of Merom, and fell upon them. Watch this. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Israel, who struck them and chased them away. Watch this, what the Bible says. He tells Joshua, you shall hamstring their horses and burn all their chariots with fire. He says, you shall hamstring their horses. You know what that says to me? The horse's horsepower comes from his hamstrings, and all that power and all that might that he has is coming from his legs. Those horses and those chariots represent the enemies in your life. God says, it's time for you to fight. I want you to hamstring those enemies in your life. I want you to cut them where their horsepower is. Take the sword. Take the word of God. Slice them and dice them. This isn't a nice God. You're too pretty. God has your back. Those folks that didn't want to see you promoted, God says, slice them. Those folks that don't want to see you advance, God says, cut them at the hamstring. Those people and family members in your life that don't want to see God move and elevate you, God says, you gotta hamstring those folks. Slice them.
so hard. Wonder why God been keeping you up all night. Look at your enemies now. They walk with a limp. They walk with a limp. Every time they try to take you out, God was slicing and dicing. Touch not my prophet. Do not any harm. Weapons may rise, but they will not prosper. Tell your neighbor, you gotta fight.
And Yahweh killed me today. Verse 9 says, and Joshua did to them just as the Lord said to him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. I dare about 53 people to walk around like you got a spiritual sword, slicing down, cut the neighbor. If they're your enemies, cut them off. If you see your enemies, give them the word. Walk around in victory. Slice them, dice them, horizontally, vertically. Create a cross. Slice and dice. Slice and dice. Slice and dice. Slice and dice. We got the victory. We got the victory. We got the victory.
But none of the cities that stood on mounds, but none of the cities that stood on mounds continue to remain on mounds. It's going to be up to you. Stop saying, I'm waiting on God. God said, I put the weapons in your heart. Work them to the kingdom benefit. Don't do them just to slice and dice people. Only your enemies. He said, he'll make your enemies your footstool. I'll use you to elevate to God's kingdom. Somebody say, I'm stepping. I'm stepping on my path to righteousness. Tell your neighbor, I won't go down without a fight. This won't go down without a fight. Just one more thing. I heard it in my spirit this morning as I was traveling on the way to 904 East Main Street. I said, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do